Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 that were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Then Jesus told this parable. So a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See, here, cut it down. Why should we be wasting this soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put some manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. So as some of you probably know, my boyfriend grew up as a Unitarian Universalist. So there are many, many things he doesn't understand about what I do or about Christianity in general. So one day he said to me, "You know, I really just don't understand you Christians. You're always talking about sin and what you did wrong, and you all just seem so sad." Now, I like to think that that's not the case, and I like to emphasize the life-giving aspects of Christianity, but when many of you come to me telling me how much you love the season of Lent, it's really hard to argue with him. And so today's gospel reading is another example of something that really doesn't help my argument much either. After all, we just heard Luke tell us that unless you repent, you all will perish. And in the parable, if the fig tree isn't producing fruit, then, well, bye-bye. Time to chop you down. But if you and I can keep this little secret, and we'll just hope he doesn't listen to the podcast, we won't tell Alex about what's actually going on here and us feeling so sad today. But so we can more fully kind of understand what's going on in this story, let's unpack by what we mean by repentance and then how it relates a little bit to this parable that we heard today. So this is going to be one of those teaching sermons. Some of you hate it. Some of you love it. Again, Vicar Sarah does a great job telling stories, and so I like to switch it up and do a little teaching sermon. So let's do this. You're going to shout back to me when I ask questions. So let's think about repentance. How would you define repentance? And we're going to say there's no wrong answers right now. How would you define repentance? Remorse? What else we got? What was that?
Change.
What else? Admission of guilt. You guys aren't helping my case against Alex. One more. Awareness. All right. So if we were to take the heart of the Greek word, which was translated in today's reading as repentance, we could also translate that same Greek word as turning around or starting over or taking another direction or choosing another course. So turning around, starting over, taking another direction, choosing another course. So repentance is there is some aspect of saying you're sorry and kind of feeling bad maybe about what you did, but there's way more than that, at least in kind of Christian thought and as we look at kind of the Greek origins of that root. Okay, so as a part of the little teaching sermon, I've got the little half sheet. Y'all probably knew this was coming. So grab that out. There's pens in front of you. And what I want to do is I want to work with a definition that one theologian gave. So it's Dr. Ronald Allen. So right at the top there, I've got a quote from him that I particularly liked when I came across this week. And so he's going to talk about Luke Acts. So same writer, the same writer of Luke is the same writer as Acts is kind of what we believe. So he says this, in Luke Acts, to repent is to turn away from the assumptions, attitudes, and actions of the old age, and to live towards the values and practices of the realm of God as taught by Jesus and as embodied in the life of the church in Acts. So turn away from these assumptions, attitudes, and actions and live towards the values and practices of the realm of God. Okay, so let's talk about what we want to do with that. Well, first, let's unpack this term realm of God. So shout it out. What do we think Dr. Allen means by realm of God? Peace. Peace. Justified. What is another, if we were to think of like another phrase that we often use in the church, so those of you who are around Christianity a long time, think of another phrase that you might think is synonymous with realm of God. Kingdom of God. There we go. Yeah, so how many people have heard like kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, something like that before, okay? And so realm of God is just like another way to talk about kingdom of God. And if you don't know what any of those mean, in other words, it's basically, I like to think of it as like God's dream for the world, God's ideal for what the world could be. And so if the object of repentance, right, is to move away from these assumptions, attitudes, and actions of the old age and move towards the values and practices of this realm of God, then we need to be clear about what this realm of God thing is. Now, on that little insert, I did a little pre-work for you because I didn't want you to be here all day. And so I pulled on some themes that we've been talking about from Luke, specifically looking at what Luke thinks about for the realm of God or the kingdom of God, or some people say the kingdom of God. You know, we're just going to call those all synonymous for today. They're a little bit different, but we're going to call them synonymous for today. And so we've got some things listed there. We've got things like radical generosity, servant leadership, peacemaking, forgiveness, deep piety, rejecting religious hypocrisy. And you could go on and on. That's why I left you another blank. So there are other things that you could fill in there. And so then I've kind of given some more context around those things there. Okay, so are we following me up to this point? Because then this is where it's going to be you doing some work. Okay? So you got to make sure, I got to make sure that I built you to the place where you can do your work. So how about let's vote? Is this making sense or is this not making sense? Okay? If you're not listening, just stare at me. Good. Okay, so half people not listening, half people getting it. So I'm going to keep going. 50% is generally pretty good, except if you're in school. That's an F. Anyway, so the old age is all of those attitudes, assumptions, and values that are at odds or opposed to the realm of God. So what I'd like you to do really quick is enacting repentance down here. Take a couple minutes to think about ways that you might repent, but not just in that like we're feeling sorry for ourselves type thing, but think about places both in your, well, in your life, in our church, however you want to interpret in our church, right, and in our world, and kind of use the phrase that I've written there for you. So moving away from, and then insert some kind of aspect of the old age there, and move towards some aspect of the realm of God, insert it there. Is that kind of making sense? It's like a fill in the blank for all three. Okay, we good? All right, take a few minutes. Some of you are looking at me like you know what I'm about to do. You are right. I'm going to ask people to share. And the preachers in the room, you all are saying, this is the worst decision you've ever made in your life. Don't do this. It's probably true. Nevertheless, I'm going to do it. All right, so take one more second. All right. Did it make sense? Kind of know what we're doing? All right, those of you who are teachers know I'm asking that question first, because then if you shook your head yes, that means you've got an answer, and I can call on you. So who wants to share? Who wants to share? Oh, wow. David wants to? Joy just volunteered. David, you got something, right, David? So pick one of the three.
So we were actually reflecting, for our Lenten discipline, we've actually given up alcohol and meat for Lent, which for me is very difficult.
He's our brewmaster in residence, so if you don't know that, yeah.
So one of the things that we were actually looking into it is, this is actually not only just better for us for health and money, but it's actually better for the world, as meat is a big problem in sustainability for the planet and for everything else. So something where we could maybe not make it a permanent thing, but always be more conscious of eating and drinking more sustainably and making that more of a permanent change.
Yeah. So if we were to put all of that, which is great, if we were to put it in so that
into
Dr. Allen would be happy with us, right?
Okay.
So we're going to move away from...
I actually put privileged food.
Privileged food. Did everyone hear that? Moving away from privileged food, and then we're moving toward...
Moving towards sustainable food.
Sustainable food. And we got kind of some of the background around kind of what he's thinking with that. Okay. Can we do one more? Perfect.
Just for the church, one of the things that I think we can do in our society is to more follow the ways of the world, to be accepted by the world. And so I was just saying, move away from worldliness and towards scripture and prayer, because that's the root of who Christianity should be following.
Yeah. So we're moving away from, let me see if I can summarize. So moving away from kind of the way that the world naturally operates, right? And we could all define that probably a little bit differently, but then moving towards kind of this understanding of kind of God's kind of realm or world. Was there something specific that you were thinking of, like when you were?
Oh, just even in reference to your scripture, you were talking about universalism, Unitarianism, and I think that as a church, Christian body as a whole, we want to be open and accepting to anything and everything so that people come, which is great. But ultimately, the core is what God gave us in the scripture and the ability with prayer. So not leaning on our own brains, but leaning on what God's given us.
Yeah. Okay, that's helpful. Yeah, and so when we think about that, I think that we've got some great witnesses and examples that God gives us in the scriptures of kind of this welcoming nature. And we could almost, some of us could even argue how Luther kind of gets pretty close to kind of this universal understanding of kind of how baptism washes us. And what like a beautiful thing to bring into kind of our faith life together and how we interact with others. There's so many places where we want to draw divisions in the world. What might that look like for us kind of moving towards that vision of, peacemaking and rejecting our own hypocrisy of welcoming the outsiders and striving for justice and love? So I'm going to give you like what I got a chance to do, which I had a little more time, right? So for me, here's a few more examples. So in my life, moving away from a mindset of scarcity of money and resources and move towards a life filled with the abundance of God's love and grace. In our church, moving away from the mentality of taking care of the insiders, so just of those of us who are on the inside, and moving towards a radical welcome and engagement with those who are outside our walls. Or how about in our world? I'm thinking about everything that has happened in New Zealand about a week ago. So moving away from a mentality that sees thoughts and prayers after a mass shooting as enough, and moving toward a mentality that turns towards God's realm that values wholeness and responsibility. So I'd like to believe that if Alex was here today, and I'm sure that he's going to listen, I did get his permission to talk about him today, in case you're wondering. I'd like to think that if he was here today, I could try to convince him that Christianity isn't about sadness. And that's because I think Christianity has a flavor of repentance that draws us towards mindfulness. Together, we become mindful of the world as it is right now, the ways that are not incongruent with how God sees the world, or what Dr. Allen would call the old age, and we place it in conversation with the realm of God. You see, but Christianity is not just about guilting you into thinking that everything is bad and going down the drain, but rather repentance is an awareness exercise that helps us pause and reevaluate and to notice the work that God is already doing in our midst. And that, I think, is where the whole manure thing from today's gospel kind of comes in. For oftentimes, I think we are like the fig tree, and we are stuck in our ways of holding on to our fruit. We fear sharing the gifts of the vine. We fear being vulnerable. And so instead, we are so stuck in our own minds that our main God-given function, which is to produce fruit, is stunted. But instead of a wrathful God who comes to obliterate us for failing to recognize our baptismal calling to work for justice and peace and love, we have a God who lovingly cares for that fruitless little fig tree. A God who kind of goes in there and helps extract that toxic soil around us that's choking us from our purpose, and who replaces it with the best gifts to nurture our calling. And friends, I strongly believe that those are the gifts of God that are given to us here in this faith community. God provides us a community that accepts us as we are, with all of our complexity, with all of our doubt and frustration and anxiety and grief and shame. For it is in baptism that God reminds us that we are supported with unconditional love, and that at this very table, God's gifts are given to us to nourish us in our work to live out that same love. For it is with these gifts that we can take pause and evaluate ourselves and the world with God's eyes, so that we can discover that we are set free to love our neighbors and serve all of creation. Is that making sense? Kind of, sort of. Some of you are like, well, I just want to get on. I see that we got to install these people, and brunch is at like 11:30, so... Is that really making sense or no? Or like, am I just like waxing and waning about nothing? Yeah, kind of making sense? Okay. Well, let's summarize it all together. Okay. Because I think there it is. All right. So today we are given an opportunity to evaluate our priorities and shift them towards a vision of God's world. Yet we don't do it alone. It's not another obligation, but it's an opportunity given by our God. For we are gathered here with God's faithful people, knowing that the journey is filled with God's extracting shovel and nurturing soil. And then in that journey, we have this opportunity to grasp a vision beyond our wildest imagination, a vision of God's garden blooming with those pears of peace, with grapes of generosity and figs of forgiveness. So thanks be to God for that abundant garden.